In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus tells his disciples to go back to Jerusalem and wait. God, you know us too well. We are not very good at waiting for anything. We want to know what to do right here and right now. We want the plan all laid out for us so that we can project the end results. We have some real control issues to overcome. Take our spirits and release the need for control. Take our minds and open them to the possibilities that you have in store for us. Help us place our total control and trust in your abiding love and presence. Give us patience and persistence in our ministries and our mission. God, this morning as we think of our family, friends, and acquaintances whose lives are in need of your healing mercy and comfort, remind us that we also stand in need of those same mercies. Give us courage to accept your love and strength for us so that we can bear witness to your love to others and all that we say and do. Amen. The Gospel Lesson from Luke. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to the understanding of the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness to these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, bystanders, no more. And my jumping off point, that is a little Ascension joke. My children are cringing in the pews right now, is the story that we've been given by the Apostle Luke in both the book of Luke and also the book of Acts. As the Apostles' Creed puts it, he ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. That is the historic teaching of the church. And it is left to us to discern its meaning for our lives. I wish to suggest this morning that the true meaning of ascension has mostly been missed throughout Christian history, with all of our fascination on the drama and imagery of Jesus' rising, speculation over the time of his return, and fixation with Christ in the clouds of heaven to the exclusion of Christ in us here on earth. To this heresy of vacancy and abandonment, belongs all of the end times, left behind, distraction theology that gives validity to Marx's critique of historic Christianity being nothing more than an opiate of the masses. Sweet pie in the sky in the by and by, and so very heavenly minded that we're really no earthly good. If it's all about heaven, then the earth really doesn't matter. There's no room for a theology of social reform. Or maybe there is room, but since the only real source of power and authority is sitting on a throne in the clouds, then the church can't be expected to offer anything more than thoughts and prayers, and expects nothing and demands nothing from itself or Congress or the president or the legislature. But as the United States Senate chaplain, Rear Admiral Barry Black, recently said, when babies die at a church school, it is time to move beyond thoughts and prayers. Our lawmakers, he said, and to that I would add our churches, must be reminded that in the words of British statesman Edmund Burke, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And so then he said, we must be delivered from the paralysis of analysis that waits upon the miraculous. That is what the disciples were doing in today's Acts text. They were staring up into the heavens, hoping and waiting upon the miraculous. Jesus had said to them goodbye and gone up into the sky, and now they are just standing there waiting on the clouds to break again and the sky to roll up like a scroll and Jesus to come back real, real soon. They were standing there waiting on a miracle. And they would have kept standing there had someone, were they men or were they angels? We do not know, but the Bible says that they were wearing white and they were messengers. Told the disciples in not so many words that they were not to stand there waiting on a miracle, but they were to go and to get themselves ready to be the miracles that they and the world were looking for themselves. Why are you just staring up into the sky, standing here frozen? The men asked. So then the disciples took their heads out of the heavens and returned to their houses in the city of Jerusalem, because they remembered that Jesus had said to them that they were to stay there and to wait until they too, like him, had been clothed with power from on high. Thus we come to what I think is the true meaning of ascension. It is a day set aside for us to consider not so much what is above us in the heavens, but what is out in front of us on the earth. To think about what it means to be left behind, but for good. And to open ourselves to expect the coming of the Holy Spirit that will enable and empower us to do the things that Jesus did, say the things that Jesus said, and be the little Christs we are called to be. That is the meaning of the word Christian, did you know? Little Christs. And though the God in Christ in us may be small in comparison to what it was in Jesus, it is no less substantive. The mustard seed of faith is in us also. The kernel of Christ's power is in the personhood of us as well. And the meaning of Christ's mission is for us to see that power and potentiality of the kingdom of God is in every bit as much of us as it was also in Him. I'm going away, Jesus told His disciples on the last night of His life. And you will look for Me. But where I am going, you cannot come. Yet very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I do go away, I will send Him to you. The Advocate is the Spirit of God that was in Christ. And that same Spirit that so richly dwelled in Jesus is sent so that it can also fully and richly dwell in us as well. And Jesus said that we would be able to do even greater things than the things that He Himself did when the Spirit comes upon us. That is, to me, the meaning of God in Christ in us, and it is the real reason for the ascension. If Christ had not ascended, we would never have grown into the full measure of Christ. We would not ourselves sense the power of divinity in our own beings. We would always be students and never teachers, disciples and never leaders, bystanders and never responsible beings. People always waiting on the miraculous rather than acting as if we ourselves have the power to make the miracle happen with the power that's been given to us in God. Elijah ascended into heaven on a chariot. And rather than looking towards the heavens for his teacher to come again, Elijah's disciple, Elisha, picked up the mantle and put it on because he was burdened with the belief and the conviction that he would and should live into twice the power and portion of his beloved Lord. This, to me, is the miracle of ascension. That Christ has gone up to receive power and authority at the right hand of God, and Christ leaves to us power and authority to act in His name with conviction here on earth. Thoughts and prayers are not enough. Waiting on a miracle is heretical. Blaming God for our own inaction is blasphemy. This is our earth. These are our children. And God has given it to us to act. Jesus has said goodbye. He's not coming back to rescue us. So we cannot simply stand by waiting and hoping and praying for his return. Christ has ascended to the right hand of God, the Father and Mother, and his mantle has fallen to us to act as the keepers of our sisters and our brothers and our sons and our daughters. I know that I'm preaching to the choir today. I know that. But let me tell you, and I think Dr. Cox would affirm this, the choir has a job. And the choir's job is to sing. And not only that, the choir's job is to also lead the congregation. This legislature is coming to a close, and they have done nothing to stop gun violence. And it will be two more years before they are in session again, and how many more lives will be lost in between then and now? The people who are passionate about saving lives from gun violence have got to raise their voices. They've got to get others to raise their voices also, and our voice is our vote. We've got to sing, and we have got to invite others to come and join this choir. In his radical and very powerful 1838 Divinity School address, Ralph Waldo Emerson called upon Christianity to take up the mantle of Christ within. He quoted Napoleon, who said of Massena that he was not himself until the battle began to go against him. Then, with the dead beginning to fall in ranks around him, awoke his powers of combination, and he put on terror and victory as a robe. The dead are falling in ranks around us. When are we going to put on the robe of power? When will we, the responsible people, allow ourselves to be clothed with Christ's action? When will we pick up the mantle of our own prophethood? Who stands fast, Bonhoeffer asked, in the face of the beast of Nazi Germany? Where is the responsible man who tries to make his whole life an answer to the question and call of God? Where are the responsible people? Where are the responsible Christians? We know the answer. We are the responsible people. We are the responsible Christians. And to us it has been given the call and the burden to act as Christ's on this earth. There is an old legend of Jesus being met at the pearly gates of heaven by the angel Gabriel on the day of ascension. Gabriel asked Jesus, "What plans hast thou made for carrying on the work?" And Jesus answered by telling him, "I left Peter and James and John and Martha and Mary to tell their friends. But Lord," Gabriel said, "suppose Peter is too busy with the nets and Martha with the housework, or their friends that they tell are too preoccupied or too fearful. What then?" The legend says that Jesus did not answer immediately, but sat quiet. And then, after a few moments of silence, he spoke with deep, deep resolution. "I have not made any other plans. I am counting on them." The Lord is counting on us. We are the plan, and there is no other. You and me and this church and so many others like us, we are the miracle that this world is waiting on. God in Christ in us. There is no other plan. In the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.